from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Coming up on today's show, we are going to discuss the game notes from yesterday's 3-1 much-needed win over the Miami Marlins. We're going to talk about Tyler Beede, who pitched well in this game and earned another start in the rotation. We're going to talk about the Giants' base running and why I think it's been a problematic issue this year. We're going to talk about Brandon Crawford, Mike Yastrzemski, and we'll take a closer look at some big names in the bullpen and the value that I see in them as the trading deadline comes into focus. But first, their record with the 3-1 win, the Giants improved to 22-33. They're still 15 games back in the National League West. They are in last place in the division. Their run differential is minus 86. That is still the worst in the National League. And that run differential has an expected win-loss record of 19-36. The Giants are actually playing better on the road than they have at home. They're 12-15 on the road, but 10-18 at home. They now head to Baltimore, which, you know, going from Miami to Baltimore, these are arguably the two worst teams in all of baseball. And the Orioles are 17-39. They have a minus 111 run differential. They're 7-21 at home. They're allowing a ton of home runs. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. A really struggling offensive team in the Giants against a really, really struggling pitching team in the Baltimore Orioles. Although you could make the case the Giants' starting pitching has been just as bad, if not worse, recently. But before we preview that upcoming series, we'll talk about the game notes from yesterday's 3-1 win over the Marlins. Tyler Beede made the start, and early on he was erratic, which is his biggest issue. His stuff is so good now that if he can just command the strike zone, he seems to do well. But what's gotten him into trouble is falling behind early in counts and then nibbling when he's behind in the count also. So he's consistently put himself in unfavorable counts where he has to come in and challenge hitters. And when he's trying to be too fine with those pitches, he's falling behind to 3-0 counts, 3-1 counts consistently and just laying pitches over the middle. And then he was getting hit hard. So that was kind of the story entering this start. But, you know, he's a former first round pick. He was actually picked in the first round twice, did not sign with the Blue Jays the first time he was picked in the first round. But the full story, if you're just tuning in now and you didn't catch us talking about this earlier and you didn't hear it or see it written about in spring, is that he cut back a lot of his pitches. Now he's only throwing three pitches, the four-seam fastball, the curveball, and the changeup. And he also worked with some of the latest technologies to try to improve and perfect the pitches that he does now feature. And so all of this came together in spring training when he looked like just a dominant pitcher out there. Obviously, we don't read too much into spring, but he looked like a different guy and was dominating hitters. And so they're going to continue to be patient with him. And that's what we've seen so far this year. He struggled, they sent him down, and then they've let him get back in a groove, and then they've called him up. And so that was the case yesterday. He was in a groove in AAA, very offensive league right now, extremely offensive league, and call him up on the road against the Marlins, about as comfortable as a start as you can give a guy at the major league level, and he performed. But he was erratic early on, which is what we have come to really expect from Tyler Beede. When he was throwing strikes, he was getting swings and misses and making hitters look bad, and the finish on his pitches is really good when he's able to fill up the strike zone with them. As the game progressed, Kevin Pillar was caught stealing after getting on first with no outs in the top of the fourth. It was pretty clearly a hit and run in an 0-1 count with Mike Yastrzemski, but to me, the Giants are making too many outs on the base paths. They are last in MLB in on-base percentage, and I understand the argument that they don't generate a ton of offense, so you have to try to be aggressive and generate offense where you can hit and run is like kind of falls into that mold. But at the same time, to me, it's not working. They're not getting lots of good results on the hit and runs. What they're often doing is just running into outs on the bases. And then what little chance you had of scoring becomes a virtually zero chance of scoring when you're taking what little hope you have and just immediately squandering it by running into an out on the bases. So as I said, they're last in on-base percentage in MLB, but they have made above average amount of outs on the bases. So that tells me the percentage of base runners getting thrown out might be the highest in MLB because they have so few base runners, but make a relatively high amount of outs on the bases. And outs on the bases, to be fair, this stat doesn't actually count caught stealings, but the Giants do have like a 67% stolen base percentage, which is below the threshold you need to be to make a steal attempt even worthwhile. Needs to be about 75% success rate in order to even justify the attempt. So all told, they just really should stop being aggressive in the worst possible ways. One way they need to be more aggressive is trying to score. And if you've listened to the show, you know I continue to talk about this. But like two outs, runner on second, single, you just have to send the guy pretty much no matter where the outfielder is, how hard it was hit. I'm all about pushing the envelope when it's trying to generate an actual run and the home plate is in front of you and it's the only thing between you and scoring is just a mad dash to home plate. I'm all about being aggressive there, but a stolen base with no outs in an inning, you just cannot afford to get thrown out there. This whole hit and run philosophy just, I don't think, really plays as well now as it might have in the past when contact was more common. In the top of the sixth, Evan Longoria came out with runners on first and second and two outs, with the Giants trailing 1-0, and he struck out. And so I'm just going to continue to point out these moments in games where these are the moments that games can be lost, and it has nothing to do with the revolving door of the 25th roster spot. It has everything to do with key players not coming through in big situations consistently. However, Tyler Beattie just continued to improve as the game went along, and it continued to give the Giants a chance to come back in the game, which they eventually did. He looked really good when he could get ahead of hitters. He was getting strikeouts and lots of weak contact, and he was only at 89 pitches with one out in the sixth inning. He was able to throw strikes when he needed to, and he got a double play to end that sixth inning. It was a ground ball hit back to Beattie, threw on to second for one, and threw back to first for the double play. And that concluded his outing. He went six innings, allowed five hits, one earned run, three walks, and four strikeouts. So it's still a little too many walks, but very much intrigued by what I saw from Tyler Beattie. And he earned another spot in the rotation, and Bochy said that he's going to start against the Mets next week. So that is good to see. And now the Giants are running out Beattie and Sean Anderson in their rotation for the time being. So continues to be an intriguing transition to some new guys when these old faces were not getting the job done. And I think that trend may continue if Madison Bumgarner gets dealt here, which seems more and more likely by the day. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya. It's free, super easy to use, and has every single podcast you love or are searching for. They have personally curated playlists made just for you by their expert podcast tastemakers. Themed collections of shows to help with podcast discovery. You can find everything from comedy to mystery, thrillers, and sports. Listeners can follow their favorite shows and creators, like and comment individual episodes, build podcast playlists by the episode, and customize it just like a playlist for songs and share it through social, text, and email. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. And don't forget to follow Locked On Giants Baseball when you're there. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about the Giants' comeback in this game against the Marlins. We'll talk about the bullpen and Will Smith specifically and the value I think he has, and then we'll preview the upcoming series against the Orioles. So that's all coming up next, but first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, promo code MLB. And try it, it's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we'll talk about the Giants' comeback in this game over the Marlins and preview the upcoming series against the Orioles. In the top of the seventh inning, Brandon Crawford hit a leadoff double to center field, his first hit on a pitch that was 95 miles an hour or higher this season. So that is something I did not realize. He was really struggling with high velocity. We'll have to look closer at that in an upcoming episode. But he doubled to lead off the inning. It was a sign of things to come for him. And with no outs, Kevin Pillar up next, just trying to get Crawford to third at a bare minimum, Kevin Pillar hit a medium fly ball to center field, and Brandon Crawford aggressively went back to tag and sprinted to third and just barely made it ahead of the throw from the center fielder. So to me, I like that aggressiveness. That is a different situation. That was a competitive run trying to get to third base with less than two outs to try to tie a game. To me, it's just different in that scenario where it's a clear purpose versus just consistently running all over the place and making lots of outs on the bases. I think Crawford had an intention. That intention was to get to third. He was willing himself to score in that inning. Even if he got thrown out, I was a fan of it because it showed some heart and a desire to win, and I haven't seen that enough from these Giants. Next up was Mike Yastrzemski. The infield was in, and he was able to hit a ground ball through the drawn-in infield. It probably should have been handled by the second baseman, but it was not, and it counted as a single, his first career run batted in. So the Giants tied the game at one. Reyes Maranta pitched the bottom of the seventh. It was a bit of a shaky outing again for him. Falling behind hitters, he did walk a batter, didn't strike anybody out. In the eighth inning, I like what Bochy did. With a lefty on the mound, Tyler Austin pinch hit for Steven Vogt, who was starting at catcher. He flew out, but it was a good time to use the lefty killer Austin against a lefty on the mound. Buster Posey then pinch hit for Reyes Maranta, who was in the next spot in the lineup after a double switch, and he drew a walk. Brandon Belt then hit a little flare to left that fell in and allowed Posey to advance to third. Evan Longoria then walked on four pitches, which loaded the bases for Brandon Crawford, who hit a big ground rule double into the right center field gap. So another huge hit for Crawford. He basically sparked both of these rallies. Kevin Pillar was then walked intentionally to load the bases for Mike Yastrzemski, who struck out, and Steven Duggar struck out behind him. But the Giants had the 3-1 lead, and that would be the final score. Tony Watson was a bit shaky in the bottom of the eighth. He allowed a couple of hits and then gave up a deep fly ball to left center against Starlin Castro that really looked like it might have been a three-run homer, but that is a big ballpark out there. But Tony Watson has continued to look a little bit shaky on the season. With two outs and two guys on, might have been a spot to go to Will Smith a little bit early. You do see plenty of good teams utilize their quote-unquote closers in that way, where they're not afraid to go to them in those high leverage situations in the eighth with a couple of outs. Will Smith came on and had another strong ninth inning. I've been talking about him all season long from before the season even started, that he's one of the best relievers in baseball, and he's only gotten better this year. So I just continue to be blown away by how good Will Smith is. They literally just cannot do anything with that slider. It was known before he came to the Giants as the slider of doom, and it continues to be that. If you're watching Will Smith pitch, just watch him throw his slider and watch how they swing over the top of it. Pitches that are in the dirt, they swing and swing and swing. They just cannot lay off of it, and they can't really do anything with it. To me, he's easily in the conversation of top five relievers in baseball right now. And I continue to think he's going to be in higher demand than even Madison Bumgarner at the trading deadline. Any contender should be very interested in Will Smith. And he's pretty much peaking right now, so don't be surprised if he gets dealt sooner rather than later. So the Giants won the game 3-1. And if you're going to win one game in a series, you might as well make it the last one, because then you get to have a happy flight to wherever it is you're going next. The Giants traveled to Baltimore, where they will play the Orioles for three games over the weekend. Tonight, it will be Drew Pomeranz against Andrew Cashner, a matchup of two guys who are not pitching particularly well. Something's got to give in this series. Will the Giants offense be able to pounce on Orioles pitching? It's a very interesting question, and one that I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. This is a daily show with new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Casper. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday, and until then, we'll see you next time.